This is EVC Dispatches, AI Voices, our editorial script. Quick backdrop if you're coming in cold. Moonshot AI, a Chinese AI lab, released a model called Kimi K3 this week, around the 19th of July, and it shot to the top of a coding leaderboard called Chatbot Arena within roughly a day. At the same time, a broader composite index from a firm called Artificial Analysis ranked K3 fourth overall. Same model, same week, two very different positions. Zen is our technical explainers editor and wrote the piece pulling those two results apart. Zen, before we get into the mechanism, just set the hook. How can both numbers be right?
Right, so the short answer is they're measuring completely different things. Chatbot Arena is a human preference vote. You get shown two model outputs, you pick the one you like better, and you don't know which model made which. That's what K3 topped. Artificial Analysis runs a fixed testing setup that scores models across reasoning, coding, and knowledge, and rolls it into one number. K3 came fourth on that. Neither number is wrong, they're just not talking about the same question.
Okay, and the Arena one is the one that got all the headlines.
Yeah, exactly. The Next Web ran a snippet saying K3 topped Arena's coding leaderboard inside about a day of launch, and that line did a lot of heavy lifting in the coverage I was reading. So the piece is really trying to slow that claim down and ask what it's actually telling you.
Walk me through how Arena's ranking actually works then, because I think the ELO part is the bit listeners won't know.
Sure. So Arena's front-end coding leaderboard is a specific slice. Only front-end coding prompts get counted toward it. The ranking itself uses an ELO system, and ELO is basically the same rating maths that chess has used for decades to sort players from head-to-head match results. Your score goes up when you beat a higher-ranked opponent, down when you lose to a lower-ranked one. Run that across thousands of pairwise votes, and you get a stable ordering. The catch is, and this is the part that matters for a 24-hour result, ELO needs volume to stabilize. When a new model launches, it's getting a rush of curious users all at once before the rating has seen enough matches to settle.
So a 24-hour top is kind of like a provisional chess rating. You've only played a handful of matches and the number bounces around?
That's close. And the chess analogy is interesting because newly titled players do spike high before their rating settles. The difference is chess has a forcing function. You keep playing rated games and eventually it converges. With AI benchmarking, there's no equivalent. The next model launches, the sampling rush happens again, and you're back in provisional territory.
And is that a flaw in Arena, or just how any rating system behaves early?
It's really just how any rating system behaves early. Arena isn't broken. But it does mean the 24-hour number is thin. Not wrong, just thin. The other thing is that Arena measures which output people preferred on the prompts they actually submitted, not correctness against a fixed test set. So if the prompt distribution during that first day skewed toward, "Give me a landing page that looks pretty," a model that produces clean-looking React is going to do well on that day, on those voters, on that slice.
Right, and that's where the artificial analysis number comes in, because that's trying to measure something harder than preference.
Yeah, exactly. Artificial Analysis publishes what they call an intelligence index. The version that week was V4.1, and it pulls together reasoning, coding, and knowledge into one controlled score. K3 Max scored 57.1 on that. Claude Fable 5, which uses Opus 4.8 as a fallback, was top at 59.9. GPT 5.6 Sol Max was second at 58.9. K3 was fourth.
Hold on, I want to make sure I've got this right. So K3 is basically first on the preference vote and fourth on the capability composite, and both results came out the same week.
Same week, yeah. And the piece is making the case that reading topped Arena as shorthand for best model right now is exactly the mistake. Topping a preference leaderboard on one task slice, one day in, is a real result about that slice on that day. It is not a claim about the model's general capability, and it should not be read as one.
Okay, so that's the Arena picture. But you flag something in the piece about Moonshot's own benchmark table that's, I'd say, more alarming than the Arena thing. What's going on there?
So this is the bit that took me a minute to actually see. When you benchmark a coding model, you don't just ask it to write code in a vacuum. You wrap it in what's called a harness. Think of it like a test rig. The harness runs the model's output, catches any errors, feeds those back to the model, lets it retry, and then scores the final result. Different harnesses have different retry logic, different ways of formatting errors, different tool interfaces. Same model, different harness, different score.
And Moonshot's table mixes them.
Their launch benchmark table pulls results from three different ones: Kimi Code, Claude Code, and Codex. So some of those head-to-head comparisons aren't model versus model at all. They're model plus harness versus a different model plus harness. The Kingi AI write-up that did the most thorough third-party synthesis of the launch materials flagged this directly.
Which means, hang on, put bluntly, some of those comparison rows are basically apples and oranges?
That's the honest version of it. And it's worth saying this isn't sleight of hand exactly. This is just how the field currently works. Labs publish the numbers they have. But it does mean the one figure I'd actually weight is an independent evaluation of the same model on a fixed harness, not the vendor's own launch table. On Artificial Analysis's sub-benchmarks, they publish two called AA Briefcase and GDPVAL AA V2. K3 is strong, but not first on either.
See, this is where I want to push back a bit, because, I mean, every lab does this, right? They find the benchmark they win, and they put it in the headline. This isn't a Moonshot thing specifically, it's just how model launches work. Why are we writing about Kimi K3 specifically instead of just naming it as an industry-wide PR convention that everyone already knows about?
That's fair, and I don't think the piece is trying to single out Moonshot for doing something unusual. Actually, let me put this differently. The reason to slow it down here isn't that K3's launch was especially egregious. It's that the same headline, topped Arena in 24 hours, will appear on the next launch too, and the one after. Step 1, new model drops. Step 2, Arena sees a sampling rush. Step 3, provisional ELO spikes. Step 4, coverage reads the spike as a capability claim. That's the pattern, and it repeats every time. So the piece is really about building a reading habit for when it does.
And it will repeat.
Every time. Yeah.
Let me pivot to the model itself, because there's actually a lot going on architecturally. The parameter count is the number everyone leads with, 2.8 trillion. What should listeners make of that figure?
Right. So, honestly, the honest framing is that 2.8 trillion is basically a file size. K3 uses what's called a mixture of experts design. Imagine instead of one big network, you've got many specialist subnetworks, except each input token only gets routed to a handful of them, not all of them. Moonshot says there are around 896 of these expert subnetworks, and 16 get activated per token. So the 2.8 trillion number is how much storage the whole thing takes up on disk. The number that actually tells you how much computation happens when you send a query, the active parameter count, Moonshot hasn't published.
Wait, so the largest open source model ever framing is that just a claim about how big the download is?
Not quite. I'd push back slightly there. It's a real architectural fact that the model is very large, but the framing does elide something important. Without the active parameter count, you can't compare compute costs meaningfully. And for the components they've named, Kimi Delta Attention, Attention Residuals, Gated MLA, the routing system they call Stable Latent MoE, the technical report wasn't published at launch. So you've got names, you've got the shape of what they're claiming, but not the mechanism. They say the design is roughly 2.5 times more scaling efficient than their previous model, Kimi K2, but that's their own figure and it hasn't been replicated.
And the open source part, weights weren't actually out at launch either?
Not at launch, no. Moonshot said they'd release the weights by the 27th of July, and even when they do land, self-hosting this thing requires what they call a supernode. Their recommended setup is 64 or more accelerators. So open here means something fairly specific. Think of it like, You know that thing where a library releases the source code, but building it from scratch requires a server room? It's kind of that. It matters for labs, cloud providers, maybe governments. For most individual developers, it means you'll eventually be able to use it through a third-party inference provider at competitive prices.
Which brings us to the prices. And this is, I actually think this is the number that matters more than the leaderboard position, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'd rather land this here than treat it as an afterthought. K3's uncached input price is $3 per million tokens. GPT 5.6 Sol Max is $5. Claude Fable 5 is $10. So K3's input price is 60% of one competitor's and 30% of the other's.
That's a big gap.
Output is $15 per million for K3. GPT 5.6 Sol Max is $30. Claude Fable 5 is $50. So roughly half and 30% respectively. And the wild thing is, most of the coverage spent its energy on the arena result, which tells you who people preferred on one task slice on one day. The pricing tells you something that compounds over time. If that pricing holds, that's real downward pressure on the frontier pricing band. For most developers making build decisions, that number is going to matter more than whether K3 came first or fourth on a leaderboard in its launch week.
Okay, let me try to bring the thread together. As I'm hearing it, the arena result is real but narrow. It's a preference vote on one task slice over a short window where the ELO hasn't settled. The artificial analysis composite tells a different, more measured story, with K3 in fourth. Moonshot's own launch table mixes three different testing setups, so some of those comparisons don't actually hold. And the architectural claims are mostly shapes without mechanisms yet, because the technical report's still to come. Is that the argument?
Pretty much, yeah, with one tweak. The pricing is part of the argument, not just context. The ranking tells you who won the day. The price tells you who wins the market. Those are two different races, and the coverage almost never separates them.
Right. So what's the habit you'd want someone to build for the next time they see a headline like this?
I think the honest version is, don't start with the headline number. Ask which slice of the leaderboard. Ask which harness the benchmark was run under. Then look for an independent composite like what Artificial Analysis publishes. The harness question is the one that does the most work, because once you see that a benchmark table mixes harnesses, the whole table becomes hard to read. The others are downstream of that. I'm simplifying, but those three questions get you most of the way there.
Zen, that's the dispatch. Our technical explainers editor on Kimi K3's launch week, the leaderboard that calls a result, and the composite that qualifies it, and why the price might be the number that actually settles this. Pieces on EVC dated July 19th, 2026. We'll be back with another dispatch tomorrow.